On this week's show, Groundbreak 2024 with Wyatt Jenkins from Procore.
Construction is the world's oldest industry but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're back, and this seems eerily familiar.
It's great Wyatt, to see you. Here we are again, Jeff. It's great.
It's great to see you, Wyatt, on the verge of another groundbreak. We've seen each other along the way. It's been a crazy year, so I'm kind of excited to catch up on what's happened over this last year, and as always, get a little preview into what might be happening at Groundbreak and then into 2025 for Procore. So, and for you in general, man, I'm really excited. You always have these incredible insights on the industry as well, given where you get to sit. So with no further ado, can you introduce yourself to those who don't know who you are, give a little bit of your background quick so we can get jumping into it.
Yeah, I've been on the show. Is this my third or fourth time? I can't remember. Maybe fourth.
I think it's like fourth, man.
Yeah. So Wyatt Jenkins, Chief Product Officer of Procore. So interesting about Groundbreak, it's in Denver this year. I was raised in Denver, Colorado. My dad is a retired general contractor in Denver. He owned a company called Jenkins Communications. And my dad and I built cell phone towers. He built them, and I was a young kid in high school and college and would help him build cell phone towers throughout the Colorado, Utah, Wyoming region. He kind of had this Western kind of 3-4 state region that he covered with his crews. And so, yeah, it feels good to be home. And it feels good to be doing Groundbreak in Denver this year where I grew up. And yeah, if you can imagine, my dad built those towers in the 80s when the cell phone tower boom was sort of exploding. And you know, those towers that sort of look like trees and have the branches. Yeah. I mean, I've personally been on maybe 100 of those sites. So I know a lot about those things. And yeah, I know what it's like to be in the field for sure. I was climbing towers, pulling cable, fetching coffee, you know, whatever you let a high school kid and college age kid do. But my dad was the president of Jenkins Communications Inc. And my mom ran the back office, right? It was about, I think at its peak, or maybe like 80 or 100 employees or something like that before he sold the company. And yeah, it's a cool part of my background. I guess from there, I ran away from construction into, well, first music. And so I have this weird decade of my life where I was a DJ and played electronic music around the world. And then technology. And so I've been in technology for 20 something years now at different large technology companies. So this is now it's my life has come full circle. I'm in technology, but I'm building for construction and I get to call my dad and have these really rich, interesting conversations about stuff I'm building and how it would have helped him back when we were building those cell phone towers.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the ConTech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@theconTechCrew.com to learn more. Yeah, it's a cool combo because you got the experience of doing it when you were younger. So it laid a good foundation, ran away from it, which we hear a lot, you know, from the industry as people, you know, some people are, you know, diehard follow your family to where it is. And some are, I got to run away and do my own thing. But it's really cool to see you come back and connect it together, especially given that part in the middle of going to software companies and large companies that were transforming or working in other spaces. And how valuable that was to those spaces. And you can bring that knowledge now to an industry that's going through its transformation, that's really embracing it. So I think it's a perfect time. So talk about, you know, the last year when we sat down last, you know, we were getting ready to go to Groundbreak 2023, which was, I have to say, the event of the year last year. I said it loud and proud a few times. It was epic, fun, informative. Always a great time. So I'm just interested your take. You've now done this a few times at Procore. How was last year for you, and how's that leading into this year?
You're right. Last year's event was so fun. The production quality, the people, the partners in the partner hall, the teams of folks coming together. It does feel like a big community of folks who really just want to change the industry. And at Procore, we're kind of a by construction for construction company, right? Because if you go all the way to the top, you got Tui building things right now. I think Tui sent me a note in email or Slack as recent as a couple of days ago. I'm out building something and Procore isn't doing what I want it to do. Wyatt, go fix this feature and make it do it differently. So, you know, when your CEO is actively using the product to build stuff and sending you feedback, it sets a tone at the culture of the company, right? It sets a tone that, hey, you need to be, everyone here, we are doing one thing and we're doing it really, really well, and that's building the future of construction. And so, Groundbreak is just such a celebration. It has to do with the culture of Procore, the culture of our customers, the desire to move the industry forward, the desire that, hey, together we can all do this. Let's talk a little bit about last year, because we did set out to do some ambitious things. And so I feel like one of the things that my dad taught me when I was young was he had a very like, hey, you do what you say you're going to do. He doesn't, you know, Jeff Jenkins was like, if he said he's going to do it, it's going to get done, come hell or high water. And I learned that. I'll never forget when I was a kid and my dad would be, it's January, we got to go drive up into the mountains to like go, you know, hit a deadline on a tower. And there's like 2 feet of snow. And I'm like, I'm a kid. I'm like, Dad, man, it's rough out there. Like it's 5 a.m. Like there's a blizzard. And my dad would look at me and be like, wear a coat. You know, like there were just no excuses. It was like, we said we were going to do this, and so we're going to go do it. You know what I mean? And I've always loved that about our industry, is this kind of get it done mentality. And so like, hey, let's look at last Groundbreak and like, what did we say we were going to do? that's one of the most important things to me. Last year, we talked a lot about connectability. Well, mm-hmm. Connectability is now GA, and it just works. And thousands and thousands and thousands of projects in Procore right now are now just connected across accounts. And so, you know, drawings seamlessly flow, you know, from an owner to a GC to a subcontractor if they all have separate instances of Procore. RFIs are in beta and submittals as well. And so we're really, now that we have a model and a new architecture, it's pretty easy now to just turn this on for the entire platform, and you'll kind of see the whole platform light up with this new connectable architecture that allows everybody with their own Procore account to easily collaborate with everybody else. And it's pretty cool because I get to see the data, and I get to see the data light up, and I get to see all this information sharing going on across owners, general contractors, and subcontractors. And I think it's starting to break down walls. Like very literally, you know how the walls stand in between us contractually. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's my information, your information. I am speaking to owners who were like worried about this. And they were like, oh, no, we only want the general contractor to use our version of Procore. Or, you know, and they are like, wow, this is saving us 20 hours of work. You know, because I'm not double copying information across accounts, and so I'm seeing people's minds change, and open up to the idea that like kind of having this automated data sharing available via all the robust enterprise permissions that are set up that govern the project, it's starting to work. And so
yeah, It's such a, we'll put it all aside, just dispel. There's enterprise security. There's all of that built into it, right? But that's what we want to talk about is how that lights up information flow, because that is and has been one of the biggest problems. I was doing a Construction Progress Coalition event, and we were mapping out, you know, just the amount of time and touches, and then associating that time and touches to some cost, you know, because people cost money. Time is money. And we could see how exponentially just RFIs, just, you know, looking at drawings, being on the wrong drawing set or uploading information from system to system, how much time and cost that was adding. And there were some hard costs, and then there's those soft costs, Wyatt. Knowing about a problem as early and as soon as possible, or a change, there's so much value in that reaching the people as fast as it can. And so it's right. Cool to see that connected.
I see these quotes, Jeff, of folks who are literally like, Wyatt, this was a 20-hour process. That's actually, it's not even a process for me anymore because it's automated.
Yeah.
Like you just, and I think what's really important is we architected Procore differently. We are not generating a PDF and like emailing a PDF. We have created a workflow-based connectable architecture to where whatever the object is, because, you know, a submittal has different like stops, start points in the workflow. It's not as simple as like just share a thing. It is like the submittal is in this space and these are the people who need to see it. And these are people who don't. RFIs, like all these, every single one of these objects have a different way that they operate. And so the way we've architected it is to actually have those objects live cross account in their phase of the workflow and in a way that the data is retained by all parties, the data that they are entitled to. And if the relationship is severed for some reason, the last moment of entitlement is retained, but any further movement along that is not retained because the relationship severed at that point. So to really nail this for this industry, it took some work, and it took some real deep thinking about how things work.
It took a lot of deep thinking in the architecture behind it, but also in, you hit on something we've talked about for a long time, is a lot of our early digitization was not digitalization. It was turning paper to digital paper. So your RFI was a piece of paper. Now it's a PDF and we would email it. And so deconstructing that is something that's super important for people listening and learning to understand that you did that. You had to take what was a form of some sort, break it off into data fields, and then understand how those fields are required for the process, who's responsible for that, and then how to present that to them in a way to create this flow. And like what you're doing inside of Procore is, and this is what I like about it, is a representation of what the industry needs to do and think about, right? We think too much about digitization instead of digitalization, which is really turning things into data. Because that's got to be driving so much more across the board for you guys and for the industry itself.
Yeah, it's exciting. So I'm excited to share progress that we told people we were going to do it. It's live. A couple other things from last year that we were going to do. Procore Pay. Procore Pay went GA, general availability to all customers in January of this year. The Procore Pay we have built internally is interconnected to financials and to invoicing and to liens. And it's not like a separate product with a separate user thing going on. It is innate to our platform. And because of that, it's trackable and reportable. And Procore Pay is off to the races. It's one of our fastest growing new products. And also because we have a large base of folks who use financials, right? And so the folks who are using financials are like, oh my gosh, this is so much better than having a separate pay, either writing checks or having a separate pay product because it's all interconnected in the platform. So that's a big one. Really excited about Procore Pay. Another one that we promised last year, if you remember, we bought Unearth. Mm-hmm. So in 2023, we announced the acquisition. It was wild because we just started talking to Unearth a few months before Groundbreak. So behind the scenes, then when we decided we wanted to work with them and they wanted to work with us, it was like, okay, you think we can hit Groundbreak? And it was like this mad dash of, you know, paperwork and everything you do. And we did it. And we were able to tell everybody at Groundbreak, like, here we are. And now, you know, we announced the acquisition last year, and this year, Procore Maps is platform functionality that is now connected to a number of different experiences across the platform, like RFIs, observations, photos. Now you can look at all those geospatially. It's really important. We didn't just buy a mapping company. We bought a geospatial engine that allows us to look at like land and underground at all in a lot of different ways, because we really believe that construction happens in time and in space. And so it was very, very important for us to be able to nail the in space part, especially for all the horizontal construction that gets done on Procore, you know, with utilities and roadways and bridges. But it's also really useful for vertical when you're looking at deliveries on and off site and everything else. So Procore Maps is now live as well. And so we'll talk more about that at Groundbreak.
Yeah, it's always been a powerful push, and we've seen it a couple attempts at it along the way. And Unearth was one of the few to really get traction. So it was really cool to see that come in. And now for it to be sort of a base layer to a lot of the other tools is going to be a lot of fun, because you're right. Nothing ever happens. And this is what we would always get wrong is, you know, something would happen in time or something would happen in a space. It never happened in a space and a time. And connecting those two together, again, just drives real-time visibility to where we are in projects and how we adjust in projects. Like you said, in vertical construction, there's just as much need to understand where a laydown area might be and how it might be moving and how the access zones might be changing versus, you know, vertical construction is very much GIS-based, right? It has to be. So it's a cool combination and use case. And I think it gives Unearth, now Procore Maps, a lot of focus and power, because again, it's all that other data. So
one of the things I'm excited to offer about Maps, the way we think about space is we say multimodal. So in Procore, we have drawings and we have models and we have maps. And so I know what I've been at our customers and I've seen what happens when they try to bounce between maps, models, and drawings. They usually have those in three different technologies, mm-hmm. right? They sort of, we know all the tools of the trade in tech that manage those different modalities. Well, the way Procore works going forward is it's just a tap inside of the application. And anything you're looking at, you can look at in the model, in the drawing, or on a map. That way you can, and this is going to become really important, right, as we start to have glasses on job sites and stuff, right? And start to like leverage kind of, you know, reality capture and that, which is not far away, right? Where this stuff's coming pretty quickly. So for Procore to be able to easily flip visually to any of those modalities is really the heart of like the platform that we're building.
Like you said, it's coming. It's not here. We've heard about it for years. But like most technology, right, it requires a foundation that can support it. Right. A lot of it is segmented. It's over here. So then I got to do this and then I got to do that. And it's got real use cases, but this is bringing it and preparing it for when it's like, okay, I can switch modalities to what I need right now, depending on where I am. I mean, to link us back last year, you know, a lot of the talk was about, you know, right place, right time, right person. You're just extending that as part of your philosophy around these different modalities and the different ways that we look at things. So it's going to be really interesting to see that hit. What else?
A couple more things from last year that I just want to make sure that that everybody knows that, you know, we are finishing our swing on. We announced Copilot last year. Copilot going into Groundbreak is now live in the product. You'll see Copilot all over the product. Some of the most helpful use cases we've seen so far are asking questions of the project. You know, a question that's buried in a specification, a question that's buried in a contract, a question that's buried in a drawing. These large language models are very, very good at looking at large bodies of large corpuses of documents and texts and extracting answers to that. And of course, we've been working on voice for a long time. And so the thing we're headed toward is just being able to ask Procore a question, either via voice or typing in search. And really, wherever the answer is in the project, you get those quick responses. And, you know, right now we're in that trust earning phase of Copilot, right? Where we give a response, we cite where we got the response, we link to the documents that we use to create the answer, right? And we're doing a lot of work around both improving the accuracy and validating it. There's multiple ways you can validate this type of Q&A. There's linking to the documents. Another thing we're also working on with Copilot is oftentimes linking to the person, because maybe a person was involved in an RFI or some other object inside of the project, and they have a lot of knowledge around that specific thing. And so Copilot can go look at that object and a different conversation that happened around that object and pull back an answer for somebody who needs it in a different stage of the same construction project. So these are just Copilot. We announced we were headed that direction. Now it's live in the product in a number of areas, and you'll start to see it move across all different sections of the product. So that's a big one. And then the last thing we said last year, we talked about our next generation experience. We're building a whole new user experience and platform for all of Procore. And some of the obvious parts of it, we are moving to a very modern, performant user experience that works across all device types. That's a big part of it. Another part of the second big value prop of our next generation experience is we've got these user persona based hubs inside of Procore that are configurable. And what I mean by that is like, this is when a project manager logs in, there's a landing page for that project manager. They see different experiences. They might see schedule, open RFIs, materials delivery on site. Like, they might see those types of objects. Whereas a document controller might see the list of changes to drawings, might see how the changes are going through the workflow, might see the schedule. So we've got these configurable hubs inside of our new next generation experience that allow every different person involved in the project to have their own view that's based on the objects that are most relevant to them. And then lastly, all of Procore in this next generation experience is Copilot enabled, is automation enabled, it is visually enabled via maps and drawings and models. So wherever you are in the product, you just have those things at your fingertips. So really excited. It's one of those moments of a podcast where I need to like show you stuff and I have to just use words instead. And the words do not do it justice. So I'm really excited to show everybody in Denver, what we're building.
Well, I think that I'll hit on that real quick. That's why we come on a podcast, is to get them ready to, this is what you're going to see. And that's what I loved about Groundbreak last year. And what I'm looking forward to this year is seeing these words come to life on the screen in workflows. That's what you guys are really great about doing. And I need to step back and I want to grab a couple of things that I think are really important about the way you're approaching Copilot and the way you're approaching AI, because we were having this, talk pre-call just about sort of where AI is in the hype cycle, et cetera. And I really believe that it's groundbreaking and fundamentally going to change things, but that it's got to earn its place and it's got to be used correctly and it's got to be thoughtfully and ethically deployed. And you've done that, right? it's learning in that process of what you guys are doing with Copilot and showing where it came from and allowing feedback. You're learning, right? The models are learning. We're creating a trust level, but also there's this idea and fear out there about people, you know, is this going to replace people? And it's like, no, you actually, and this is interesting because I've been told this a couple of times, like the most ethical point at which we need to be careful with AI is when we automate a decision that a person would have made. And what you're doing is going beyond that and saying, no. Here is the person that you may want to learn from, connect with, and made that faster. And again, it's about speed. So I'd love to see how this is going. And that seems to fit really well into redesigning the UI and the experience itself. And you're, in my opinion, really evolving exactly what you said last year, you know, that we talked about, giving the people the right information where they are. You're not just doing that now. You're giving them an experience that's custom to them and keeps them in their flow. I am out on the road all the time and we're talking about flow state and staying on the tools, staying on task, staying in what you're doing. And every time you're flipping from app to app or place to place, you're losing your moment. If you're in a hub and you've got access to these tools, you can stay in that hub. You can stay where you're comfortable. You can stay where you've got flow and really make powerful moves with the software itself. And I want to give you guys credit because too much in the industry in general creates something and stays with that experience. And that experience does not age well. And there's not a lot of return at times in the short term of changing that UI and investing in that process, but it creates the relevancy and continues the value of the product moving forward and allows other features. So a lot of what you've done since you've gotten here, Wyatt, and not just you, I mean, I think timing wise, it was the right time for the entire team to take on a lot of these things, the integration of Procore to Procore, the change in user experience, adding in AI and large language models in ways that make sense. So super great to hear. And I love that you prefaced these folks are going to see a lot of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What else are you going to talk about as we get there? What else are we going to see, buddy?
Okay, we can get into the future. I do think this is at least a worthy detour, which is our long-term hypothesis is that we believe in builders. We believe construction is, it requires people to make tough decisions and that we're not just gonna magically get perfect designs, you know, out of architecture that just make it so that we can automate everything that goes on in the build. Our hypothesis is that we are going to use all the latest and greatest in technology and agentic architecture. We're going to use the latest in AI and LLMs to empower people to make faster, smarter decisions. Our like 10-year bet is on builders, you know? And if I had to be like maybe a little forward leaning, the things that I think are easier to automate that are going to change the most, I think a lot of those live, for example, in engineering. Like this beam needs to hold this much weight and it needs to be this length. And those are math problems. And those are just like, okay, there's an amount that needs to happen here. I think you'll see a lot of change there. Whereas like on the builder side, you're making judgments, you're working with people, you're making fast decisions in the field based on conditions, based on safety risk. We don't predict a world where that like goes away or like we somehow have found an AI that like walks into the field and like deals with all that. That is not our long-term bet. And so I think you'll see how that plays out over time and in our roadmap and in how we leverage AI, because it we really think about it as a tool to enable the builders. And that's a bit of our long-term vision.
Back in 2020, I heard about a new software platform called Join. Within minutes of seeing Join, I knew it had the power to revolutionize collaborative project delivery. Join is now used by 50% of the ENR top 30. Why? Pre-con and ops leaders at DPR, Bolt, McCarthy, Barton Mallow, Clark, and others say that they like Join because it does two big things: collaborative, trackable decision-making, and awesomely simple visuals. Want to learn more about the power of Join? Go to www.join.build/demo to learn about how better gets built. Well, I would agree with you, and I don't think any of it's going anywhere. I think all of it's going to go through its own life cycle of transformation. Like you said, with the engineers, it's like a lot of that is math, but a lot of that is then going to be, you know, how do the engineers that now the math is being done connect with the means and methods, connect with the builders, spend more time focusing on those things. As I research these areas, it's changing all of our roles in ways.
Yes.
But I don't ever see it replacing them in general. And I actually think we need these tools to manage the complexity of what we're going to. Like, the things that we build are so much more complex and integrated and electrified and complicated that we need these tools to make sure we maintain visibility and safety and efficiencies, et cetera, because we don't know what's changing. And like you said, you could say you're going to get rid of it, but like all of a sudden the shipping lane shut down for a while. What do you do now? Well, a human needs to get involved in this and a team needs to react to this. And you have backlogs or issues, priorities. You need humans. You need these things.
Yeah, I don't think people get replaced. I think if anything, but we can train people faster. We can get the information to people in the field when they need it faster. Like those are the things that are going to fundamentally change. And I will, like, let me take the other side of this. Like, we are in the middle of one of the biggest technological shifts that we've seen, in my opinion, since mobile. So the addition of 3G and mobile devices around kind of 2010 to 2013 was like a massive shift. All of a sudden, everyone's got this map, this GPS map on their body that they can, and you see entire industries flip around, like taxis, and you know, and that was a big shift. That was a major technological shift. I do think large language models and agentic architectures are another one of those shifts that we're still pretty early in, and I don't think anyone has perfectly predicted what exactly is going to happen. And, you know, I think when you're in the hype, the peak of the hype circle, it's really hard to parse through all the noise because there's just like way more funding and way more false positives right now. Like it's very hard to figure out what are the actual use cases that are gonna drive value for everybody. We'll get into a few as we look to the future that I think are gonna be really helpful, but that's just the moment of time we're in. It's almost like 2011 when we had mobile devices. Like, it's going to change a lot. I can't exactly figure out how, but a lot's going to change. Because when I was
I'm never going to use an iPad on the side. I remember when it was like, that thing's just going to become a hammer. And it's like, now you can't pry it from their hands. Like I believe you're right. But I also believe it's a natural part of the cycle. So I'm really interested to see, where do you see this functionally and like foundationally having impact and something tangible? Also, this is where I say, folks, partner with people like Procore, et cetera, that are taking this kind of balanced view. Because you're right, Wyatt, there's money everywhere and it's being thrown around. And where there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of confusion. So this is another thing about Groundbreak and about Procore in general that we can lean into to learn from and sort of have that trusted. Like you said, it's a community. So it's not just that you're leaning into Procore. You're leaning into this community of incredible builders and innovators that's there as well, to talk about what's worked for them, where they've been burned, where it's been great, what they're looking for. So I'm interested to see, because you guys kind of guide the conversation, where are you going to take it?
One of the big themes for Groundbreak will be around artificial intelligence, will be around data, our data platform. We've been building a data platform now for 5 years, and every single part of Procore, the data flows into that data platform. That is, we've taken the hard road on this. We built it all ourselves. And anytime we acquire something, we only look at it through the lens of like, how rapidly can we integrate it into our data platform? Because we just, and that's an area where I feel like we're pretty far, many years ahead of most of the other technologies in the industry, because it's been one of our biggest investments. What's interesting about a data platform? Well, first, I mean, reporting, analytics, Copilot, automation, any part of Procore, you can combine and you can do all of those things on top of the data. You can also take the data and put it in your own environment to our cloud connectors. Like, we've just invested heavily in that area because that's the bet we're making. We believe data in the hands of builders is what's going to change the industry. And so this is where we're kind of putting our flag down and saying we will be far ahead of the industry on this. And I'll give you a few examples. If you've got all your financials, all your labor, all your construction objects, all your estimates, and all that data is in a single platform, well, you can easily run reports on that data and join like labor productivity rates over to your schedule, to auto-generate a schedule, back to your budget to see how it impacts budget with different crews. Oh, and you can then bring that back up to your next estimate. Like, all that exists in Procore today. It's no longer like a vision. It just, that's how Procore works. And so it's really cool from a data perspective. But back to the AI part of that, the way we interact with user experiences is going to fundamentally change, right? Because I'll give you a few examples. Instead of filling out a form, like typing into an iPad or a computer, you will talk into it. Like, that doesn't seem like crazy, right? We're getting better and better at NLP. We're better at voice. You can take a block of that and you can run an LLM on it, and it can spit out a nice ordered list for you of things based on like the construction specifications of that particular project. All these technologies coming together in that way, you can just sort of close your eyes and imagine the way we interact with software is just going to be really, really different. We're going to talk to it. We're going to run automations. Like, one thing we're seeing right now is instead of building a report, creating like joining and doing all this, you know, data munging, you will ask for a report and maybe even create an agent for that report and say like, Procore, I would like to have a report on labor productivity rates across my 23 crews on these projects, and I would like it on Fridays. It's very doable right now. It's not like future-y. And so try to imagine, like, instead of people sitting at keyboards, like trying to build all this stuff, now you're just talking into an application and the application is creating these reports for you. This is not future stuff. It's now. And it's really exciting. But we feel good about that data platform under the hood that's kind of created that. So
I love that. I mean, foundationally, I'm going to stop you for a second. Foundationally, that data layer is what we've needed, right? This industry has operated with very siloed, very limited access to data at scale and data that you can then interact with, whether you're using your own data or publicly available data or whatever. It just hasn't existed. And I'm going to break down two things. You said them. So we do this here. NLPs, natural language processing.
Oh, yeah.
Think of this as Google Translate at a level that's not Google Translate. So Google Translate is really bad at like actually creating, saying things in one language or understanding it in another, right? It's different than that. It's actually like understanding your speech and parsing through it. LLMs are large language models, and they're trained to understand and work with data in different ways. I probably didn't explain those very well, but just so we did it. But what I think's powerful is your understanding of how we can interact differently. with our information using our voice. We used to need a lot of staff and a lot of people with a lot of technical capabilities to create those reports, create those dashboards, to take what we're asking for, go into a room and come back with it eventually. Now, what you're saying is that every person using an instance of Procore now has an assistant that will be able to go and technically do some of the things they need so they can stay focused on the job and do it in English or Spanish or other languages eventually as well, I would imagine. I'm gonna tap that in there so that you can get valuable information from your data quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me the most excited is the way we interact with this. But let's bring it back to construction. I mean, the National Association of Home Builders estimates that, you know, the industry is going to need 700,000 new people, you know, in 2024. That's this year, to do the work we need to do. So with the ongoing labor shortages, we just have to find a way to scale this workforce. We are not going to train that many people. Now, we've got .org. We've got all kinds of ways that we're trying to help with labor shortages, from getting people to the industry, rebranding construction, focusing on mental health. Like we have a lot of programs at Procore to try to help the industry. But I also think we have to figure out how to lean into technology. And I do believe the one thing we can do today that is, it's not going to take anybody's job. These algorithms are just math. They are not coherent. They don't like we're not talking about Terminator here. We can just turbocharge and scale the workforce. If everybody can get an answer to their question with using voice wherever they are rapidly, then, you know, you're going to be able to do 2-3 times as much work in 3 years because you're just getting answers and you're staying in motion, right? So, like, I'll give you just a couple in the weeds example to drive it home. You can create an automation in Procore that can check if the specs and drawings proactively see if the information exists, or if someone's already answered the question elsewhere in the platform to avoid an RFI in the first place and make sure all the information is there to answer and reduce the back and forth. That's a thing we can do now. So that's a very like tactical in the weeds, but very time-saving application of artificial intelligence. I think you could create a workflow that automatically manages the distribution and follow-up. And so you can generate that with voice. You can say, I would like to create a workflow that's going to go ask for all these questions when I have these overdue objects. And then the thing will just go out and do that for you and generate that workflow to go follow up with a bunch of folks. And then schedule, right? I mean, we, at this point, every single thing, I mean, Procore started in the risk game, right? Our very first product was project management. And we had things like RFIs and observations and incidents. Well, guess what? We have the largest corpus in the world of data that has a propensity to impact schedule. And so what can AI do? AI is going to tell you the propensity and the likelihood to impact schedule. And then it's going to, now that we have things like large language models and automation, it will make a recommendation to what you should do to the schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that's not right and you override it because your judgment is better. Great. We want that too. You know what I mean? Good. That's humans doing smart things. But we can recommend, and as people begin trusting these things, you might see more and more of those recommendations just being used out of the box.
Well, yeah, that's the beauty, is you get 2-3 recommendations. Right now I'm not sitting there starting in a blank slate, right? We've talked about this a lot with AI. It's about getting you from starting with a blank slate. Okay, I have this. Now it's like, hey, you've seen these in the past. Here's some of the things you've done. Which one do you want to do? Oh, hey, this one doesn't fit for this situation because a lot of it is unique. Great. Now I'll take you further. And this is not Procore saying this. This is me saying this. But I think automating and making more of these tasks done by the machines themselves allows this AECO industry to lift up out of in the projects, in the building, and in what we're doing, because we're never going to make, even if we train all those people, even if we're never going to get them, right? They just don't exist. And we have to start designing, building, and doing things differently. And if a lot of what takes up so much of our time from our leaders, our thought folks, our people who build and are those experts and allow them to think about new means and methods, design for manufacturing and assembly, you know, we can actually move forward with new materials, with new methods, with new ways to build that cut our need for that 700,000 that we can't fit down to, let's say, I don't know these numbers. So I'm going to say, let's say realistically, we can only get 250,000. So we're always going to be 500,000 behind. What if we can cut it so that 250,000 that we can get and should get and will bring into this industry down to that's what we need, because our means and methods are different. We're using panelized, modular, prefab, all of these things, right? We're not doing that at the scale we should now, because we have too much time spent in the projects we're working on now. And this data layer foundation, these AIs and automations, they're taking away math and they're taking away things people are bad at anyway. Opening them up for the good, the power, what we can do. That's what I see this type of progress leading us to.
Yeah, we have this construction technology maturity curve that we've developed over the last year. And one of our principles at Procore is to meet our customers wherever they're at on that curve. And you can sort of, I won't describe it in too much detail, but you can sort of imagine down at the low end of the curve, a lot of paper processes, maybe they've chosen an ERP. That's a lot of times like the first piece of tech a company might choose. But then on the up, the most mature companies, there's a couple trends I see in the most mature companies. They've invested heavily in a single platform that acts as a data platform for them. They might also have internal data people, but they really have grown over the immaturity to understand the value of all the data. So the few examples of our most technically proficient customers are heavily invested in data. Those same customers that I see at the very high end of the maturity curve have less technology, not more. That's a really important detail. If you have a proliferation of products in your tech stack, it gets very complicated to get them to all talk to each other. And so you either hire a massive internal data team to try to string together stuff across 40 pieces of technology, or you go, hold on a second, what are we doing here? Like, let's. So a lot of our most mature companies, we've seen them slim way down on technology actually, and choose a few standards across their whole stack, and then have like a second tier of like really cool point solutions that maybe do something in a unique way, but only point solutions that are deeply connected to the rest of the platform.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the industry, right? I mean, that's not just construction right now. So if you look at the data across the board, in the world, we're actually, for the first time ever, seeing a shrinkage in the number of pieces of technology used and SaaS providers used for exactly that same purpose, Wyatt, right? There's too much sprawl, data sprawl, you know, headache. So like you said, it's about coming down to a core platform, figuring out those things that do exist outside of it, right? There are things that exist outside of it, but they've got to have a good business use case and a real impact, and then be connected back to your systems. Connected back. We cannot chase shiny toys that create more and more data silos and spread, because it just doesn't, it's too much. Yeah. So I love that, because you're seeing what the technology industry at large is seeing, because there's just so much headache.
That's right.
In all the different platforms, and an inability to learn them and get the power out of them.
Yeah.
Right. And so that I love that maturity curve. And what I want people to understand too is you're not saying less technology. It's less individual platforms and solutions. The technology is more widespread from a single platform and a choice area, and then less point solutions added into that. And like, it's a process, man. And I like to see that you guys talk about it on that curve, because it's the other thing I hear all the time. This conference and this event is not just for people that are at the top of the maturity curve.
No.
If you are at the bottom of the maturity curve, even if you work for an organization that you feel is there, this is your place to go, because if you don't get on the path, you're never going to get there. So it's about meeting people where they are. There's tons of people, Wyatt, that still need those RFIs, those daily logs, those time cards, whatever it might be, taken from paper and into the digital realm as they go through their journey. The cool thing for them is they get to skip a lot of headache along the way that others have already experienced, and the platform is much farther and much more integrated into the way things work. So it's a great time for everybody to show up.
Yeah, that's fun. All right, staying on task. We talked a lot about Copilot. We talked about AI. We'll have a ton of examples at Groundbreak of how we think this is going to help folks. Some visionary, some very pragmatic, like, oh, that just will save me a few hours a day if that works. So I'm excited to tee that up. And it's a large part of our Groundbreak. So excited about that. Another key area for us, we went out to all of our customers and we asked them, you know, if you could wave a magic wand, what do you wish Procore would do differently, better? And one of the things I heard loud and clear from our customers was, hey, Procore is a very ambitious company. Y'all are always pushing the boundaries to try to, you know, to try to innovate. Refocus on your core and innovate there. Like, you know, a lot of what got you here is what makes Procore great. And so we heard that message loud and clear about a year ago was, hey, let's make all of the basics at Procore just world class, because some of them, you know, we needed to finish that last 10%, or we needed to push our thinking and really think about the connected workflow across a bunch of areas instead of just thinking about, you know, one more feature, you know, on an estimating tool. And so with that, we have a bunch of core innovations on the tools that everybody uses every day. So I'll give you a few examples. We just made a massive investment in Schedule. We have like quadrupled the size of the engineering team. We're focused heavily on the field scheduling use case to make sure, because we're not trying to replace the master. We'll have like a two-way sync to the master, but that's a contract, right? That's a contract with an owner. And so field scheduling is something that we are really excited to talk about and to show, because it's working, and to share with customers how that works. And so every, just like I said about maps, everything will be connected visually to a map. Everything will also be connected back to Schedule. So every single Procore object across all the 40 or 50 core experiences in the product will be in some way or shape tied back to our scheduling engine. So that's like a, hey, refocus in on what made us great and make sure field scheduling is innovative. It handles look aheads. It's AI and intelligent, like, because you're getting risk profiles of different objects being created in the project that give you help you understand whether something's going to change. That's a big area where you're going to see a ton of demos and hear a lot about at Groundbreak. Another big part of innovating in our core, we wanted to take a step back and ask ourselves what the future of safety looked like. We kind of had a little heart to heart about like, hey, safety needs to fundamentally change. It's at the end of the day, our goal should be 100% of people go home safely to their families. Like, what is that? What does the world have to look like for that to happen? You know, what does ambitious look like here? We went from a place of like forms to like digital experiences, But now it's time to go. Most of safety should be done with passive methods. You know, it should be. And so we're investing heavily in passive safety. And what I mean by that is people should be doing less like activities and filling out less forms. And we should be using computer vision and large language models and IoT and devices that are on people in their helmets to capture and to analyze safety risk on behalf of people, instead of requiring people to like input information into technology. Let's just capture the scenario and look at it more intelligently. Construction accounts for 21% of all deaths among U.S. workers right now. It's not good. This is a dangerous industry, you know? And I think Procore, we have to play a significant role in the future of safety. It's one of the most important things that we could do. And so we're going to be embrace. We have a bunch of new hardware partnerships. We're going to be really focusing on hands-free technology, glasses, hard hats, computer vision. This is an area that I think is going to change significantly in the next 3 to 4 years. I really believe this type of investment we're making is we're all in. And we think this is an area that everything will be fundamentally different by 2027.
I think you're absolutely right. You nailed a couple of things there. And 100%, we got to send 100% home. And we don't right now. And we are a dangerous industry. And we spend too much reliance on people seeing and finding things. And we can amplify that. We can give them superhuman powers to see the things through computer vision. We're not saying we're going to replace all of you. We're saying we're going to give you X-ray vision. We're going to give you superpowers to see everything that's going on job sites and with humans and with people and with materials and cranes and heavy equipment. So it can be proposed to you to look for problems, to catch things before they happen, to eventually predict when X, Y, and Z is going on a job. There are these issues to be aware of and to focus on. And I love it. I think that's awesome. Time is money. Schedule. Love it. Every freaking thing impacts schedule. As I go down this road, I realize more and more, there's just nothing that doesn't impact it. So that's awesome. And you just got me all excited that there's, you know, going to be some of these cool hardwares, some things for me to put on my head or on my arm or on my eyes or whatever. And it's also just exceptionally good to see you guys getting to your core again and listening to your customers and leaning into it. So any final thoughts? Because we got to let them go. They're probably tired of us. As much as I could sit here and talk to you for another 3 hours, Wyatt.
Unlike other sectors of the economy, construction productivity has actually decreased. And it's decreased by, I think, 40% over the last 50 years, something like that. It's sort of wild. We started on a journey back in 2021 when we acquired a labor product. So we have now a mature enterprise-grade labor management and tracking product. And we're going to be extending tracking into equipment and materials. And so with Procore going forward, we have an entirely new solution that's powered by all the platform things I just mentioned, like AI and maps and data and reporting and, you know, mobile first, all that. But now we have a labor, equipment, and materials tracking and management solution that we're going to be announcing at Groundbreak. There's like a lot of details that this is the one where I'm just going to tee it up and say, like, there's a ton to talk about. But this is an area that I think the customers I've talked to are very, very excited. And we're already in beta right now on equipment. And soon you're going to see materials get added to this. So we have a true end-to-end LEM solution that I think is going to be a game changer for everybody. So this is a very, very big announcement and one that I'm pumped for.
Well, I'm excited with you, Wyatt, because to get anything installed, it takes people It takes equipment and it takes materials. So those three going together really can change our level of productivity, can align us in a way that we have visibility. So I'm excited for that one. That's a great nugget. Look, man, we get to do this once in a while. I always appreciate you sitting down with me, opening it up, taking the time to talk about it. I'm excited because it's your former backyard, but it's my current backyard. So I just have to drive down. I will be there. So if you're looking for us, you'll find Wyatt there, but you'll also find me on stage a couple times there as well. So I look forward to seeing everybody there. And Wyatt, thanks again, man, for sitting down with me.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Maybe we get a mountain bike ride in. I don't know. Let's see if it's possible.
I'll throw that bike on and don't tease me. I'll enjoy it, man.
No, I mean, this year we had so many announcements. I mean, we increased our velocity and our engineering throughput incredibly as a company. We had so many announcements, like, yeah, we couldn't fit them all in. We've personalized all of the groundbreak to be for subcontractors, for general contractors, and for owners, so that we can really speak folks' languages more directly. Our vision is building a platform that works for any type of construction and any size of construction in the world. And I think everyone's going to see how that comes together. So thanks for the time. Can't wait to see you there. And let's see if we can do some Colorado-esque activities if we get a chance.
I look forward to it. And I hope to see all of you who are listening in there. Thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Wyatt Jenkins. To read all our news stories, learn about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is The Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.